Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Okay, today what we're going to do is try to complete the topic of we've been spending the past week speaking about the virtues of the Quran. The virtues of the Quran and how important it is for us to try to spend, especially this month of Ramadan, reading and rehearsing, you know, the Quran to one another. And we talked about the dangers of abandoning the Quran. And we talked about what happens to people who don't study the Quran, who don't apply the Quran to their life. And today we're going to talk about how to preserve the Quran. We have to understand, guys, that for every prophet that Allah sent, each prophet was given his own miracles or given his own things which were exclusive to him. The miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Quran, was the Quran. The Quran in and of itself is a miracle. It has been preserved by Allah. A lot of people ask the question, how is it that all the other books got distorted, but the Quran did not? Because this was the miracle. This is the miracle that Allah gave to the Prophet Muhammad. Allah said he would preserve it and keep it from being tampered with and distorted. And he also said he would preserve the Sunnah. And that's exactly what Allah did. Now, we need to understand a few facts about the Quran, which help to show how it was preserved. The Quran was committed to writing during the lifetime of the Prophet. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of Muslims out there who are very ignorant of their religion, in addition to being weak. Let me cut this mail thing off. Okay, in addition to being weak in their iman and weak and oversensitive and all that, they are ignorant too in regards to their religion. A lot of Muslims do not know that the Quran was reduced to writing during the lifetime of the Prophet. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive a revelation from Allah, he would call upon his scribes and he would recite it, and his scribes would write it down on leaflets. Okay? So the Quran was reduced to writing during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, contrary to the common belief or knowledge of many Muslims. However, the Quran was not put into a book format until after the Prophet Muhammad's death. And the reason why was because when the Prophet Muhammad died, that's when the revelation ceased. Common sense. Remember, we tell you guys, Islam is a simple way of life. You know, all you need is a little bit of common sense. Common sense is there was no need to put it into a book during the lifetime of the Prophet because the revelation was continuous. Okay? After his death is when the Quran was reduced into the first book format. Okay? The decision to compile the Quran into a book came about during the caliphate of Abu Bakr. May Allah be pleased with him. And it was Umar who suggested it. And what happened was, this was after one of the battles in which the Muslims had fought in the apostasy wars. And during this battle, many of the companions were killed. Many of the companions who had memorized the Quran by heart were killed during this battle. And this is when Umar said, oh my God, look at how many of our reciters were martyred. He said, SubhanAllah, what would happen if all the people who knew the Quran by heart were to disappear? What would become of the Quran? So then Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, went to Abu Bakr, who was the caliph. And he said, oh, Abu Bakr, why don't we gather the Quran and put it together into a book. So in case something happens, the book of Allah would always be there. At first, Abu Bakr was against this. He said, no, there's no need for that. We'll just keep on memorizing it. But then later, Abu Bakr began to think about it and he realized Umar has a point here. So thus what Abu Bakr did was he called upon Zayd ibn Thabit. Now Zayd ibn Thabit was one of the personal scribes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr called upon him and the other scribes of the Prophet and ordered them to get together the leaflets that they had of the verse of the Quran, gather them all together so that they can put it in the form of a book, so the words of Allah would be preserved in case people were to die. So thus the scribes gathered themselves together, they organized and put all the verses together in a book, and Abu Bakr closely scrutinized this. You want to remember that Abu Bakr, he too memorized the Quran by heart. So he scrutinized to make sure that everything was written down and organized good and accurately. And so thus, that's how the Quran became put into the first book. And then what Abu Bakr did is, before he died, he gave that book to Aisha to keep. She too had memorized the Quran. And then later it was passed to Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, to keep during the caliphate of Umar. So that's how the Quran was compiled into the first book. Okay? And again, everything was closely scrutinized by the scribes. They all had memorized the Quran by heart too, plus Abu Bakr himself. Now, it was during the caliphate of Uthman that the Quran came to be organized in the format that we have today. And what happened was, Uthman had traveled, one day decided to travel throughout the Muslim territory. And he noticed that when he went to Syria, the Muslims were reciting the Quran in a different dialect than the Muslims in Mecca. And the Muslims in Medina were reciting in a different dialect. And then the Muslims in Bahrain were reciting in a different dialect. The Egyptians were reciting in a different dialect. What happened is, when the Quran was first revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was originally revealed in 7 different dialects. Because the Arabs, the Quraysh, they spoke in 7 different dialects. As you guys know, Arabs today still have their own dialects. Egyptians have their dialect. Palestinians have their dialect. Kuwaitis have their dialect. Emiratis have their dialect. So it's the same way. But anyway, when Jibril revealed the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad, it was originally revealed into the 7 different dialects. So the different dialects that the Arabs spoke, so they could thus learn it. And one day, Ibn Mas'ud happened to go to the mosque to pray. And there was a Muslim there from another tribe who was praying and reciting the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud told this man, hey man, you wrong. What are you saying? How dare you make the words of Allah vile? The man said, what are you talking about? I'm reciting the Quran the way I was taught it. Ibn Mas'ud said, you learned the Quran wrong. And they got into an argument. And they both went to the Prophet, and the Prophet said both of them were correct. The Quran was revealed in a different dialect. Okay? So anyway, that's what happened. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent different companions out to different parts of the world to teach Islam to the people, they taught the people the Quran in the dialect that they spoke. There were 7 different dialects. So then, under the caliphate of Uthman, after the Prophet's death, When Uthman began to travel, he noticed the Syrians reciting the Quran in their dialect, the people from Bahrain using their dialect, the Egyptians their dialect. He was like, hold it, hold it, hold it. He said, this is not good. He said, we all need to be reciting the Quran in just one dialect. So it was Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, who decided to have the Quran rewritten, and this time to have it written in just one dialect for all Muslims around the world to speak, no matter what tribe they're from, what race they are, or whatever. So what Uthman did was gather together the scribes again. And what they did was they wrote it in the dialect that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke. And what Uthman did was he had all the other Qurans destroyed. He ordered every other Quran in existence that was in any dialect different than the one that he had written to be destroyed. And this was another way of preserving the Quran. And by the way, guys, Uthman, it was underneath his caliphate, he was the one who also responsible for organizing the Quran into the different surahs that it's in, which surah comes first, which one second. He's one that put it in the order that it's in today too. Okay? And so thus, by him doing that, this helped to preserve the Quran too, because now it doesn't matter where you go. If you go to Bosnia, the Muslims will recite the Fatiha the same way that the Muslims in Nigeria do, the same way the Muslims in Australia do, the Muslims in Saudi do, the Muslims in Kuwait do, etc., etc. So that was, Uthman was the one responsible for that. And that is how the Quran remains preserved like it is today. Okay? So here you can see, guys, all of this was through the mercy and grace of Allah. Allah thus preserved the Quran and kept it from being tampered with, kept it from being distorted and being changed. And so thus the Quran today remains as it was from back then, truly revealed as the words of Allah. And there's many different proofs that the Quran is actually the words of Allah, that it is from Allah, that nobody made it up. Nobody wrote the Quran. The Quran is the words of Allah. And this is the proof. First of all, remember, guys, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate. He could not read, he could not write. So how could a man who was illiterate, who could not read or write, produce something like the Quran? That's one proof right there. Another proof of the authenticity of the Quran is its wonderful structure. The way the Quran is structured is unique when it comes to the beginning of the verses and their termination and the places where it stops. This is its added to a refined way of presenting the truth and the true knowledge of Allah. The beautiful wording, the ease, and all of this is proof that this is something that was from Allah, that nobody sat here and made it up. Another proof that the Quran is authentic from Allah is the fact that it speaks of things which had come to pass. For example, Allah tells us the stories of the civilizations before us, the people before us. How could the Prophet Muhammad, who was a man who was illiterate, have knowledge of these things? It tells us about things that happened from the past that nobody would have known of. Okay? Also, it includes knowledge from the smallest of particles to cosmic facts. And this is one thing that Sheikh Yusuf, Yusuf Estes is always talking about. He's always talking about how the proofs of the Quran, how you can prove that it's authenticated by a higher being than a man, because of the fact that it talks about particles and facts that are like the creation, how a fetus is created, and all of this, which the people did not even know of back in those days. Another proof that the Quran is authentic is the fact that it is free of contradiction. There is no contradiction there. You can read the different surahs of the Quran, and they do not contradict one another. And another proof that it is something from Allah is the fact that look how easy it is for us to learn how to recite it. I mean, those of you who are regular users can attest to that, including myself. Look at how much progress we've made in the Quran recitation class. Many of us could not read the Quran at all. We could not read Arabic, and I'm one of the people. All we knew is Aleph, Ba, Ta, Tha, Jim, Ha, Ka. That's all we knew. But now look, in just 2 months, 2 months after learning the alphabet, we can now sit here and stutter and stammer, but learn how to read different surahs of the Quran in Arabic without looking at the phonetics, just looking at the Arabic letters, putting them together, and alhamdulillah, all of us are reading it. That's the beauty of the language of the Quran. Okay, and this shows that this is something from Allah. And another proof that the Quran is from Allah is the fact that no one gets tired of it. You never get tired of reading it. You never get bored with reading the Quran. Okay? So for those people who try to dispute that the Quran is an authentic book based on the words of Allah, they have no evidences to support their stance. And scientists today are still intrigued with the things in the Quran and the Sunnah too, for that matter. Okay, so thus the Quran is a miracle of Allah, and it was a miracle that was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, guys, we need to get in the habit of reading it and understanding, pondering the meaning of those words, and then applying them to ourselves, to our actions, to our behaviors. Okay? So when people come to you guys trying to tell you that your book has been distorted, you can tell them, no, it's not. This was a protection from Allah. Allah preserved it. Allah protected it from being distorted. And that's why it's the way it is now. You can go to some of these libraries, for example. They have a museum in Baghdad. They have one in Istanbul and other places. And you can find some Qurans, copies of Qurans, dating back to the time when they didn't even use paper. They have Qurans, verses, surahs of the Quran written on the back of camel skin that they have preserved, and they compare those verses written on the hide of camel skins to the actual Quran that we have today, and it's the same. There's no difference. So can't nobody come and say that our book has been tampered with, destroyed, distorted, or anything like that, because it wasn't. Allah took care to preserve the Quran. Alhamdulillah. Abu Bakr was one who was guided to the truth. Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, was another one who was guided. Okay, and Allah, through them, Allah made sure that our Quran was preserved and protected as it is today. Okay? So thus, basically, this will conclude our lecture on the Quran. Again, the next time you join this website and you hear the Quran playing, don't sit there and ask, why is nobody talking to me? Listen to the Quran. We have it playing in Arabic and in English. Listen to the beautiful eloquence of the Arabic words. Listen at the rhymes. Listen at how those sounds rhyme with each other. They're beautiful when you listen to a reciter pronounce them. And then listen to the interpretation, the meaning. Listen to the transliteration and ponder the meaning and try to then get some benefit from it. Instead of sitting here wondering why nobody won't respond to you and give you their age, sex, and location. Okay? So we're going to stop right here for today. And inshallah, if you guys have any questions about anything, go ahead and ask them. Tomorrow what we're going to do is go back to the topic of Ramadan because we'll be entering into the third week. Ramadan is really like halfway over, guys. If you guys realize it, we'll be going into the third week of Ramadan next week, and we want to talk about itikaf. We're going to talk about itikaf and the rulings of itikaf, and we're going to also talk about the night of power, the virtue of the night of power, etc. Okay? Again, Aisha, it was underneath the caliphate of Uthman. Uthman, he was the one that put the Quran in the order that it is now. The order, the arrangement and stuff, that was decided by Uthman and his team of companions. Okay? The Quran was not revealed in the order in which we read it today. The words are all the same, the surahs are the same, but it was organized underneath the caliphate of Uthman to be in the order that it is today. Okay? If you guys have any other questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.